I'm Ilya Marchenko.
I'm Dennis Kudla.
I'm Jesper de Jong.
I'm Henry Laxon.
I am Francisco Cerundolo. And you're listening to the Games of Love podcast.
Hey, welcome back, tennis fans. Here we are from Zagreb. It's going to be an exciting little podcast, this one, because we're not even talking about someone who's even playing this week, are we, JG? It's a bit overdue, this podcast. Sorry didn't bring it to you sooner. But Carlos Alcaraz, he is the man about town at the moment. He has sort of beaten the who's who of tennis. He's been beating Djokovic. He's been beating Nadal. He's been beating Tsitsipas, Zverev. Is there anyone he can't beat? And is he the favourite for the French Open?
Well, you're going straight to the big question. We're not going to start. Is Alcaraz the favourite? We've got a lot to talk about. Apologies we've not brought any podcasts recently. We've been enjoying the scenery in Zagreb, playing a bit of tennis as well. Getting to the Challenger, having a few beers, having some nice meals. What else did we do? Anything?
Playing tennis?
Yeah, we said that. Playing tennis. Okay. Anything funny? What's happened?
John Silk.
Me. Tennis quizzes of an evening time. They're always entertaining.
Yeah.
Great quiz master. But we're here today to speak about, of course, the back end of Madrid with Carlos Alcaraz defeating Zverev in that final. Of course, he went through and beat pretty much everyone. And yeah. Questions now are around Roland Garros. We've got not long to go until that starts. We're going to be home for that. So we're going to be going a full week of preparation, getting ready, doing the qualifiers to watch, an intro, and just trying to make it the most enjoyable experience for you guys and us as well. Because we've been talking so much off stream. And it is built to be the biggest Grand Slam ever. And I mean, we always do say that. But Roland Garros this year has a special feel. You've got Djokovic desperate to try and get to 21 and equal Nadal. He's had such a terrible year. He's got sort of a point to prove at the moment. Nadal trying to open up the gap. Yeah. Carlos Alcaraz trying to get his first slam. Tsitsipas so close last year, who's dangerous. Zverev just finding form. I know he's playing Alex de Minaur right now as we speak. And he's playing very yeah. well. Just got to a final in Madrid as well. So it is billed to be one of the most exciting, entertaining Grand Slams ever. And that's not even to mention the women's. We've got Iga Swiatek looking like an unplayable character right now. Not sure who can stop her. So we're going to be covering all of that. But let's get into this one. It's all going to be about Carlos Alcaraz. Apologies for sort of bringing this at a bit of a random time. It's just the only time we can get it out. But cheers, Joseph, for joining us live.
Hey. Hi, guys.
Are you enjoying Zagreb, my background? Is Croatia.
Nice. Awesome. Yeah.
No, we're enjoying it, aren't we? We're having a good time.
Yeah, it's really nice. We need to see a bit more of the city itself, but the bits we have seen have been very picturesque, and JG took us on a very scenic walk last night up a big hill. Not that I had the knowledge that we were going to be going up the big hill, but maybe he was thinking I needed to lose a few pounds, but didn't want to tell me. And that was his way of...
trying to get Bennett to stop. I didn't get heart marked, so I'm trying to get him to explore as much as possible. And it's a good travel walk every now and then.
It is indeed.
So let's go through the tweets. So I prepared some tweets today. I'm going to be in charge. So there should be a little bit more structure than when Ben does it. And here we see the MM Open, the Tour Madrid Open. Champion Carlos Alcaraz claims his second ATP Masters. I mean, it's not his second title.
No.
It's his second Masters title. 19 years old now. And he becomes the player with the most titles this season. Four.
Yeah.
I believe that's the same as Iga as well.
It's amazing.
Most finals now. It's got to be. I don't think he's lost a final, has he? So it's the four finals.
No.
The final he usually wins. And it's honestly remarkable.
Semis in Indian Wells as well. Don't forget. That was a big one.
I believe there is some more stats here. So you can see here, Carlos Alcaraz, 19 years, 3 days. Beats Zverev 6-3, 6-1 to win Madrid. And listen, we was actually talking about how Zverev could trouble him in that final when no one was talking about it.
I know.
It didn't happen.
No.
Youngest ever player to win the tournament.
That's amazing.
Madrid. 1,000 Masters, Miami, a Masters, Barcelona, a 500, Rio, a 500, Indian Wells, a Masters.
Yeah, I know. Semi. I know. I
didn't quite get there, but still impressive.
Useless.
And 20... yeah, well,
I know.
28-3, most wins and best winning percentage in 2022. And when you look at players like Tsitsipas, Rublev, struggling, they can't get a Masters. He's won two this year, almost three.
Well, Tsitsipas had to wait a long time to come for his first Masters. Yeah, now he's won the same one twice. But yeah, he did have to wait a long time. And people were questioning, why can't he win any ATP 500s and Masters events, even though he won the World Tour Finals, which is arguably more impressive than a Masters, some might say. But Alcaraz, look at him go. Two Masters titles. And he's been coming out and just sort of really confident. That's the thing I like about him. He's actually like sort of stating his intentions on 2022. We've mentioned many times about how he looked like a boy, even in December or November. And now in the off season, he's jacked himself up. He looks like a real muscular, looks more adult, looks more menacing on the court. And I think that's the thing I really like about him is he's not going to take any crap from any of his opponents. If they want to try something, he'll square up to them at the net. I don't think he cares. Even if it was Rafa who tried it, which I don't think he would, he'd still not back down. And I think that that's something that's going to put him in good stead come Roland Garros.
Just someone who doesn't look intimidated. He is confident. And he's out there right now saying, I can win a Grand Slam this
year. Yes, he is.
I don't know where that tweet is. We're going to get onto it in a minute.
Yeah, yeah.
This is the sort of news after Madrid. So he did that in remarkable fashion, beating the Dow, Djokovic, Zverev in a row.
Ridiculous.
And then traveling to Paris on the 19th, he's going to stay in the same hotel as Nadal. He's going to play just one grass event before Wimbledon, which is going to be Queens.
Amazing.
And Federer and agent Godsick love Carlos and want him for the Labour Cup. And I can understand why they'd want him at the Labour Cup.
Definitely.
This is just be so intelligently thought out, everything Alcaraz does.
He's
pulled out of Rome. I think that's a wise decision. When I saw the news, I wasn't disappointed. Same with Iga dropping out of Madrid.
Yep.
It's intelligent. It's what these young players should be doing.
Audible, yeah, but you're saying he's on the you can see why they want him included in the Labour Cup, and the way that his season is being structured is a very smart way that they're like sort of.
You can see it from young players. Young players, they just don't have that level of experience.
Good team.
That's the best thing to be doing for themselves.
Good team around him?
Well, he must have. He must have a great team.
Juan Carlos Ferrero can't get better. Yeah, I'd love the partnership.
He doesn't do a Raby Carno and get rid of him.
No, I think it's like a sort of like a father figure. He seems like to him. It's a little bit like when you saw them embrace. I can't remember which tournament it was at when he came out to see him during the tournament. Miami, yeah, when they saw each other. It's like long lost relatives meeting up, wasn't it? It was crazy. So I think it's only spelling good things for Alcaraz having Ferrero in his corner. I think it's what a great guy. I mean, an incredible tennis player and. Yeah, one of the best on clay. So it's going to look good for him in Roland Garros having Ferrero there.
Well, he's now moved up with Roland Garros as the second favourite. We're going to be talking about that in a second. The next one is just everyone else in Rome and how relieved they are. So you've got Carlos Alcaraz pulls out of Rome, other players, and I think his highlights sit nice.
Not this place again.
They're just absolutely relieved he's not there. Because, as Zverev said in his post-match interview, he believes Alcaraz right now is the best player in the world. It's extremely high praise, and I don't actually disagree with him. I have gone from a massive Rafa fan to a bit of a Carlos Alcaraz fanboy at the moment. And I think the whole world is, the whole tennis world certainly. It's just such an exciting talent. We've been speaking most evenings around having some beers, talking about tennis off-stream. And we're talking about how many Grand Slams can he win. Without getting too carried away, it's hard. I know it is a bit annoying. I was like, oh, look at Game to Love now, getting so excited about it. But you just can't not.
The trap.
He's actually going to be able to do everything because there's not a weakness. He's 19 and he can do everything with a tennis ball and he can already beat big players and he can win in Masters. And he's doing everything in the same way as, say, sort of what a Rafa Nadal was when he was breaking.
Yeah.
As much as Rafa hates it, all the comparisons.
They're all there, don't they?
He is following that trajectory.
It's a pretty of a crazy trajectory. And the reason we don't really want to get like too overhyped on him. We've been trying to sort of contain it. Like, I mean, we've known about him for so many years, and it's just like in the UK, it's sort of the, I don't know how to, you sort of like build them up in the media, and then it, all it does is destroy their career. Whereas I don't want that for him. I would love to see him like just be kept under wraps, but now you can't. Like, there's no way you can keep someone under wraps when they're that dominant on the tour, and he's now in six in the world. Like, you can't, like, there's no hiding anymore. There's no, like, if you win two Masters like the way he's done, and you beat Nadal, you beat Djokovic in the fashion he did, unfortunately you're in the headlines even if you don't want to be. And coming up to a Grand Slam on the surface that's supposed to be his best surface as well, and coming up against potentially the king of clay as well, the one he's having all the comparisons with, it's only just going to keep fueling the fire, the Alcaraz fire. And I'm sure everybody's hoping there's an Alcaraz Nadal match at Roland Garros, and that's all anyone wants, I think. I think you don't want it. I think every neutral fan would love to see that match.
Well, the big thing for me is this. So Carlos Alcaraz currently sixth in the world, which means, so this is a very fascinating point. John Silk's massive on all the seeds.
Oh, yeah, he loves it.
Rankings, and he's been feeding into me this whole week, to be honest, talking to me about it. And we could be in the scenario where we're looking at Djokovic, Nadal, Tsitsipas, Alcaraz, all on one side of the draw. The way the seeds are at the moment, that is a real possibility. Alcaraz is not going to be really in the picture because he's like sixth seed. Nadal's not going to be one or two.
He's been cheering on a Tsitsipas defeat this week, hasn't he, John?
It's just tough. It's really tough. And I am worried about the prospect of them playing early. I would just love Nadal in his own section, no own half. I don't mind Djokovic, Alcaraz. Stick them together. Put them in the same section. Put them in the nice little same, play in the quarters if they want. That'd be great.
Imagine if they're all together, though. It's just going to be...
But I'm sure Djokovic fans listening, they want to avoid Alcaraz because he's just deadly. He really is. The big question is, we don't know how he's going to really cope over the five sets.
No.
Rafa, Djokovic, they've done it time and time again. And even players like Tsitsipas, Zverev now, you'd think they're getting to the point in their careers where, oh, they can actually do it now. Zverev against top 10 players in a Grand Slam, useless. Tsitsipas over five. Do you really fancy him in a fifth? I mean, he's done all right recently. He did well against Rafa at Australian Open when he was two sets down, come back and won it in five.
Close against Djokovic twice, wasn't he, in five?
Still, there's question marks for him in five.
Duration.
Alcaraz, we don't know. It's a bit of an unknown entity.
And that's what makes it more interesting. Exciting, definitely does make it interesting.
So let's have a look at the big interview he had with Marca. Saying, I want to win one of the three Grand Slams left in 2022. That's the goal. Hope it's in Paris already. I feel I'm ready to play best of five against the best players. I'm physically strong. In my team, they say I am a toro, which we know is a ball in Spanish.
Yeah.
And he's already here, confident. Like you said, he's got his chest out. He doesn't fear anybody. He believes he can win a Grand Slam already. And I love the confidence. Some could say this comes across arrogant.
But I don't, you've got to have confidence. Like, it goes across all sports as well, because that will make you a bigger superstar than being the humble guy a lot of the time.
Yeah, would you say this, you're only, so is this arrogant for you, yes or no?
I say it's confident. I wouldn't say arrogant.
But if it was someone you didn't like, you'd call it arrogant. I think that's just human behaviour.
Maybe.
A podcast. If this was someone you necessarily wasn't really warm to.
Possible, yeah.
If you'd say, oh, how arrogant is that?
All I can compare it to is like boxing. If they come into a fight and they're just super cocky, oh, I'm going to knock him out and I'm going to win the world title this year. You're like, look, he's got confidence in his power. Yeah, like that. He set it out, and it's like that positive mental like outlook on everything. If you like believe it, then that's it. You could potentially achieve it, that type of thing. And that's what McGregor did. He just kept on setting those goals, like believing it. Keep saying it and it will happen. Like, I'm going to knock him out in the first round. I'm going to knock him out in the first. And he just kept doing it. And this is what Alcaraz is probably saying. I'm going to win this tournament. Then there's no negative. He doesn't really come out and say, oh, well, my leg was hurting there. And I didn't really play my best. I haven't heard anything like that from him yet. Like, hopefully we don't get to. It's like Rafa, even if his foot's really, really bad, you don't really hear him go on about it. It's just, it gets reported. But I feel like it's that same sort of cut from the same cloth.
A lot of people disagree with you on that comment about
I don't know. I don't think he moans about it. I don't think he's
done enough with you to brainwash.
I don't think he moans about it, though. I think we know he's very, very injured, like, and carrying like the worst injury. Yeah, he could moan.
If he loses, he instantly comes out. He always says about how there's an injury when he loses.
True, true. But look at how many injuries he's had in his career. I mean, he's probably riddled with more injuries than we even know, Rafa. But so potentially could be Djokovic as well. Like, he's probably carrying injuries into tournaments as well. This is what happens. All the best players, they don't really go on and on and on about it. They just try to focus on their game, beating the next opponent, like Rafa's been saying recently, same as Djokovic as well. And they just go one match to the next. And then eventually they get to that final and they're there, bang, ready to take another slam.
Yeah, we've got Uda in saying he's a real threat. He's not cocky at all. Liz there saying it's not arrogance, it's confidence. He's not saying he's going to win. He's saying he's ready to play the best of five sets. And I don't think arrogance is necessarily bad either. I don't know why brand is arrogance is a bad thing. I think in sport and competition, arrogance can be the difference between winning and losing.
Yeah.
You see it in, I think, most notably football players. The best football players are ultimately the most arrogant ones.
Yeah.
It does come with that extra bit of flair and confidence in vital moments. And I think it can only help a performance. I think that could be another sort of sports psychology podcast. And I don't think we've got the right knowledge to talk about it. But
no.
I generally do think there would be positive connotations between arrogant professionals and how good they are. It definitely does help.
Oh, yeah.
The arrogant ones aren't very good. But yeah,
get humbled.
My attitude. I think he's very confident and I like it. I think it's a good attitude to have.
Well, some people could say, like, oh, what? Do you think Cristiano Ronaldo is arrogant or do you think he's just confident?
He is. He's arrogant.
Yeah, but then do you think that it's working for him? Probably. That's what I mean. Like, that type of thing. It does help because he has all of the belief in himself that, no, I'm not going to pass the ball. I'm going to go like, boom, 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 step overs and then just try and fire a shot. If it goes in one every five times, he's a genius. But no one, and then people will forget the other bits and pieces he does wrong.
Yeah, you've got Zane here saying success is a monster that needs constant feeding.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, you're very right there.
Let's move on to the next one. So Eurosport here reporting, well, they've been obviously interviewing a lot, Rafa Nadal in Rome, continuously asking him about Carlos Alcaraz. I feel he's getting a bit sick of it.
Yeah.
Onto a tweet in a minute where he was talking about that. And I can understand why he's getting sick of it, but I thought this was a very funny quote he came out with saying, new things always look better than the old ones. Rafa Nadal.
Yeah, I remember this.
Carlos Alcaraz to a car or mobile phone upgrade. And I had a good giggle with this when I saw it in the bar. I thought it was class. I think it was a really good quote from Rafa. And well, what did you make of it?
I think I like it because it's sort of downplaying everything as well. It just it sort of cheapens the thing, but in such a way, because it plays into like the whole narrative of how fickle like modern technology and everyone is these days. It's just always a new thing coming out. Like, oh yeah, you'll get bored of him soon as well. There'll be another Alcaraz.
They're quite getting bored of Rafa yet, though.
He's a Nokia 3310. Everyone, he's still playing Snake on him.
Rafa's stopped. I don't think he's going to really diminish too much. But I'm going to put something out there, which may be a bit of a bold statement. I think Rafa Nadal, when he retires, of course, he can always be supporting Carlos Alcaraz. He's a very nice guy, as we know, Rafa. He's going to want the best for him. I don't doubt that at all. But there's part of me now which thinks he can't stand it in terms of he's sick of everyone.
Imagine how he feels.
Continuously keeps saying, oh, didn't you do this then? Like, compare all the time between him and his career and Alcaraz. And he just lost to him as well for the first time. I honestly think Rafa Nadal has a bit of a bee in his body at the moment, and he does not want to lose to him at Roland Garros. I can guarantee you that match, if we do get to see Alcaraz Nadal, which is a real possibility at Roland Garros, Rafa is going to have a massive incentive to beat him, just to silence all of the press. And I'm not saying that in a way that he's had enough, he doesn't like Alcaraz. I'm sure he's got the utmost respect for him.
Yep.
Spanish as well. He wants the very best. And I think when he retires, I wouldn't be surprised if we see Rafa Nadal as his coach or something.
Imagine.
Right now, in the moment, I think Rafa Nadal is like this new kid on the block. I need to show him a lesson. He's just beaten me.
Put him back in his place.
Put him back in his box. And I am going to be there with my Rafa t-shirt on, and I'm hoping Rafa can put him back in his box just for a little bit, because Alcaraz is going to have a great career.
Yeah.
Can he get 20 Grand Slams? Maybe.
Who knows?
Say he can't. I know we were having a bit of a debate earlier. Maybe we'll speak about it at the end.
Will he have to wait until the big three or maybe big two retire before he starts getting his hands on them, though? That's one of the questions.
I think he's winning one this year. I think he's going to win one this year. Let's go. We'll talk about that in a sec. So moving on here, we have Djokovic's thoughts on Alcaraz. He said, I think it's great to have somebody that young who is bold enough to challenge the best players in the world and win big trophies. But at the same time, be humble and nice off the court. He brings a lot of energy on the court, which is nice to see. I think it was a good decision from his part not to play in Rome. Roland Garros is definitely one of the main favourites, no doubt. He's the talk of the sport.
Ooh.
He really is the talk of the sport.
He's is.
Around town right now. Alcaraz is the new hottest Lamborghini around. And everyone is a little threatened by him.
Of course.
Massively threatened. You've got all of the players like the Tsitsipas, Berrettini, Zverev, Medvedev,
Rublev.
This pack who have been here sort of trying to get
Felix, Shapo.
Just trying to do anything and get free. Just trying to beat them. Like, I'm not even talking about any Grand Slam. Just beat them in a Masters. You get the odd result here and there. Alcaraz has come in at 19 and beaten both of them back to back.
So the only two have really, I'd say, come close or have managed it is Medvedev and Dominic Thiem, really.
Yeah.
Like, they've been the real two, like, standout people you thought, oh, they're really challenging now. And then Thiem, unfortunately, we know what's happened to him.
I think with Dominic Thiem, this is what he was able to do. He was able to beat Rafa, say, in a semi-final, Australian Open.
Yeah.
Final, Djokovic can't quite do it. Or he can beat one of them.
Beat Djokovic and lose them.
Just didn't have enough to beat both. And Alcaraz's son, he can go beat both and then go beat Zverev, the reigning champion in Madrid. There's just levels to this game. And it is, honestly, remarkable what he's doing, and he's getting the highest praise from the best players in the world. And I think they can see a talent when they see one. We've got Medo in saying the greats of the game will never stop seeing themselves as the big dogs. Good for them. Fed ain't counting himself out either as he stages his comeback. And I mean, Federer is the sort of forgotten man. I don't think he's going to want to come back and play Alcaraz.
Imagine that. I don't even fancy that for a match, to be honest. I think Federer. I think Federer will probably take that one off. I think he might just see the draw and go, might withdraw from this tournament.
Yeah, I'm going to stick to Geneva.
That's it. Why not get to Geneva? Labour Cup. I'll come back for the Labour Cup.
Well, he just won it. He's already come out, Federer, and said he wants Alcaraz in the Labour Cup. I'm assuming that is going to be because he is the talk of the sport, as Djokovic says, and that people will buy tickets ultimately. Alcaraz is there. He's the biggest star in tennis.
Zverev's just won against Alex de Minaur.
Okay. And talking of that, we're going to have Igor on very soon on the channel. So join us for that. We're going to have Jonty joining us. Should be a great match. And Igor here on the tweet said, Igor didn't play Madrid. Alcaraz won't play Rome. Why is youth taking care of their bodies and keeping the big picture in mind? Both want to rest and recover after winning big trophies and not play further without niggling injuries.
It's great.
It's smart, isn't it?
I really like that they both are doing the same thing, taking the same path, and the two hottest prospects for the future as well.
I think this year, if you look at the top three players, I'm sure most people would agree, it's got to be Igor, Alcaraz, Nadal.
Yeah.
2022, it belongs to them.
So far, so good, yeah.
And maybe, as much as we're saying all this about Alcaraz and Nadal, maybe Iga is top of that pile for what she's doing. 24 matches in a row. Let's see if she can get 25 very soon against Azarenka. Remarkable what she's doing as well. We will be doing another podcast on her very soon. Poor record on clay immediately following their 19th birthdays. And this is a fascinating, really good statistic. Reason being is people don't realise how difficult it is to adapt on clay when you're so young.
Yeah, yeah.
I know if you come from a clay background, like sort of these Spanish players, like South Americans, it's a little easier. So you can understand Nadal, he's all brought up on clay. Was great.
Yeah.
So this is Nadal, by the way, before his 19th birthday. 64-12, 84%.
Mad, that, isn't it?
This is his teens.
And what we were saying about, we were saying last night, weren't we, with John, like he beat Pat Cash, Grand Slam champion, in an exhibition when he was 14. So that's ridiculous. I mean, it's just like levels to the game, isn't there? But 84% following their 19th birthday is just like, that doesn't even make sense.
And it can take even the very best sometimes get going on clay when they're young. Djokovic, Federer, 37% for Djokovic. Federer really wasn't great on clay in his youth. We know
yeah.
he developed into a good clay court, or overall good at anything, really, Federer.
Yeah.
But Alcaraz already 27-8. It's just looking phenomenal. We are comparing him to the very best because we think he can be in that same conversation come 20 years.
And arguably, I'd like to see the statistics the other way to see how quickly he's adapted onto hard courts as well, because I think that's even more impressive for me. His clay court, we knew he was already good. Hard court, I think he's come on leaps and bounds in the space of 12 months.
Yeah, agreed. Let's look at the next one. So this one we've already spoken about.
Yeah.
It was tweeted out by Roland Garros. I thought,
Roland Garros getting in on it.
Roland Garros, they're just sort of
lapping it up. Lapping it up, aren't they?
He's the cash cow. They're going to have Alcaraz. You just know he's going to be all little posters around Roland Garros this year.
Rafa, him, every like putting them near each other.
Look at him there. He's just loving it.
He's doing the Rafa celebration. What's that? He's biting it. But that's Rafa's. The main picture they always use is the bite from Rafa, isn't it?
Well, let's talk about this. So I think the next one is about Rafa, actually. It's about a lot of them. So in terms of play, this is what Justin Henin said. He seems more complete to me than Nadal, Djokovic and Federer. For me, he's a good mix of the three. The comparison with Nadal for me is not good. It's the precocity.
Precocity? I'm going to go precocity.
Well, either one's wrong, but of the two that make them look alike. I don't think he's anything like Rafael Nadal, apart from that he's Spanish. He's playing stuff,
yeah,
I don't get tall. He does have, I agree with Henin in the fact that he has a mixture of the three. I still think it's a bit disrespectful, maybe not disrespectful, I don't know. I just think it's a bit much to say he's more complete than all of them. I mean, he's not more complete than all of them because he's just 19 years old. I mean,
yeah.
You can say he might become a bit more
complete. Maybe at that age.
You can't say he's more complete than Nadal, Djokovic and Federer. I think she's gone overboard.
Maybe she added in at 19. He was more complete than all of them were at 19.
Yeah,
that makes more sense. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
But I don't understand why people are getting hyped, because I do generally, I've been saying it for a long time actually, we watch a lot of tennis, doing a podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
We watch pretty much all of the big matches. I've never seen someone as complete as him come.
Nah, I mean, he's incredible.
There's just nothing you can't do.
Got the lot, isn't he?
Not a surface you can't play on. And not an opponent where you think he's going to struggle today. I mean, even when he was injured against Rafa, he'd come back and won in three. I mean,
just does it.
Can he play twice in a day? Yes, he can. He can do that as well. Can he play in five sets? I know people have said, oh, we've not seen him in five sets. How are you
going to
beat Buster? He played two games.
Buster as well.
Buster and Alex de Minaur.
That's put that into perspective. The second person he played had played like a short match, like earlier in the day. He'd played like nearly 4 hours. And the player he was playing in the evening was about 18 in the world. Not like he's down the 100. Odd. No, he's still one of the top players. Like a semi-finalist of a Grand Slam before. Just madness. I just don't know how he did that. I mean, and the Zverev thing for me, I think that was just even more impressive. I mean, Zverev can have those off days, but I just feel that he looked beaten before he even got on court, really.
He is here saying, at Roland Garros, it's going to be Carlos versus Rafa, Sasha, Stefanos in the quarterfinal. Juicy. We don't know that for sure, do we? Let's wait and see what's going to happen with the draw. We've got Dejaya here saying Henin is spot on. I don't. I think it's a bit overboard. A
little bit overboard.
And then there's another one.
I think calm down a bit.
Navratilova called him a better version of Djokovic. Seems a bit much, personally. I think his body is just more naturally athletic. Everyone's getting a bit carried away.
Yeah, I mean, calm down.
He has the potential to be that, but we can't say it right now.
Yeah. Right. Last one.
Yeah, last one. And then we're going to just talk about Roland Garros.
Yeah, quickly.
So we have really spoken about this, to be fair. I sort of put this probably earlier on in the podcast. And just arrived in Rome to hear a slightly exasperating Nadal on the now very frequent comparison between 19-year-old Alcaraz and 19-year-old Nadal. I'm not going to read it all because it's a bit long. But the last line is, he is what he is and he is fantastic. And probably in 2004, I will not say about myself that I was fantastic, but I think I was quite good too. I think ultimately, he's just more or less saying he's happy with the way that he was able to manage his tennis career. At the moment, his personal career is exactly how he wants it. He thinks Alcaraz is doing the same thing. He's managing everything great. His expectations seems to be pretty grounded.
Yeah, it's good that he's doing that.
But he just doesn't want... that's what I'm saying. I think he's got a point to prove. He's going to want to go to Roland Garros.
Definitely. This kid. Definitely.
Let's talk about Roland Garros to end it. The title of the video is Carlos Alcaraz now the favourite for Roland Garros? What do you think?
For me, no. My reasoning behind it, I feel that Rafael Nadal would still be favourite for Roland Garros. I think he's won it so many times that you cannot make him second favourite behind Carlos Alcaraz. It's disrespectful at best. That considering we've never seen Alcaraz even get to a semi-final of a slam before, to think that he could now just come in and become favourite of the tournament over somebody who has the most Grand Slams of all time and possibly had the best start to a year, or his best start to a year ever in his career. I think Rafa, before that rib injury, looks like, we were saying, if he's going into Roland Garros like this, I fear for everybody. And I think he's only a few matches away from getting back to that again. And to say that Alcaraz can take him out in five sets on clay in Roland Garros, in front of the big lights, in front of the big crowds where Rafa rules the roost, I don't think he's favourite. I think Rafa still is king of the clay for now.
Okay. And what about in terms of his ranking with regards to Djokovic? So if you were to give me your top three favourites, would Alcaraz slip in at second or is he
third? No, he would still be third.
He's third favourite. So Alcaraz behind Novak Djokovic.
Yeah. I would have Alcaraz just above Tsitsipas. I'd have Tsitsipas in fourth. So that would be where it would go. I think it would be, he'll be below Djokovic though. Rafa one, Djokovic two, Alcaraz three.
Interesting. We do have Bahuma in. How we doing, mate? Saying, remember, Rafa at Roland Garros is a different breed of monster. It's all good winning masters like Zverev. Alcaraz still needs to prove himself in slams. I'm sure he can, but we've not seen it, so we need to wait and see. For me, what I would say, if I had to have my take on it, I think he's very close to being favourite, but maybe just fractionally not. I would agree with the bookmakers, Sky Bet in the UK. I think they've got it spot on. They have Nadal 2.75, Alcaraz 2.88, and Djokovic 4. And I would have that order. I think Alcaraz is a better, I have him as more of a favourite than Novak Djokovic at Roland Garros. But I'm very close to Rafa. And I think a lot of you may be surprised in terms of, I actually am kind of backing Alcaraz to win Roland Garros this year. There's a little sneak preview into my bracket. Of course, we've not seen the draw. I may change my mind. But my initial feelings right now, is I've been saying it to Ben and John, I think Carlos Alcaraz is going to win Roland Garros this year. I have a big feeling. I think he's shown to me a maturity well beyond his years after what he's doing in his Masters. And then pulling out of Rome, that decision, when I heard he pulled out of Rome, I thought, I think this kid's going to win Roland Garros. He seems to be smart and not just good. But that is my take on it. If you have a look at the stats, you probably have to just sort of edge with Nadal because it's Roland Garros and he doesn't really lose there. But let me know in the comment section, live chat as well. What do you think? Do you make Alcaraz your favourite? It's obviously been a phenomenal few weeks for him. Phenomenal 2022. We're going to have to wrap this one up because we've got a few appointments to attend to. Iga's going to be on very soon. Anything left to say, Ben?
Yeah, I'd say the Alcaraz hype is real, but the big boys are going to be looking to put him back in his place. And we haven't seen how he copes over 5 hours yet, have we? So let's see. Let's wait and see. But I'll be cheering Alcaraz on anyway. I want the best for him.
Yeah, me too. Anyway, thanks for watching, guys. Make sure to like and subscribe. And we'll see you soon for plenty of watch-alongs in Rome. And, of course, all the build-up for Roland Garros. See you then.